Welcome to the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley. Thank you for listening each week. We help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens, security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy. Those are just a few of the things that we cover each and every day. And the main purpose of the Middle East Reports is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word. And we try to help you do that every single week with people from Israel and the Middle East. And today, we're going to talk to a guy that lives in Israel, but he just happens to be in the United States, Michael Mistretta. He is with an organization in Israel called FIRM. And Michael, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you are with an organization called FIRM, Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. Tell us about what you guys do there in Israel.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just loved even hearing the purpose of the Middle East Report, because that's our heart. We want to help engage and inspire, educate Christians about how the Bible adds value to their faith so that we can be better connected to what's going on in Israel. And so as FIRM, we know a lot of people want to get connected to Israel. They don't know where to start or who to trust. Often that we find political ways to get involved in Israel, which are important, but it's hard to find trusted, gospel-centered ways to get involved. And so we want Christians, churches, individuals, families, to say, we want to be a part of seeing a day where every person in Israel is transformed by the love of Jesus. That's what we believe. We believe this is the place he walked, but he has a heart for his own people. All the early disciples were Jews, and they took the gospel around the world, and now we believe it's time to bring it back to where it all began. So we serve a network of about 70 different local churches and ministries all across the country, Messianic Jews and Christian Arabs, and together we want to see a day where people are transformed by the saving knowledge of Yeshua, recontextualizing him, not seeing him as a Catholic, someone born in the Vatican, but seeing him as a Jewish man born in Israel, born in Bethlehem, raised, lived a Jewish lifestyle, knew the Torah, and was a rabbi, and when they see him in their contacts, we're praying that they see him for who he really is, the Messiah of Israel.
You know, I think a lot of times we forget that Jesus was a Jew. Is a Jew, yes. He is a Jew, and the Bible is a Jewish book, both the Hebrew Scriptures, or, you know, the Old Testament. I don't like that term, but the New Testament, it's written by Jewish people.
Exactly. And I think it's so important to understand. You know, I always think of it like a movie. So if you were to walk into a movie halfway through, you know, you might still figure out how it ends, and you get the overall plot, but you miss the motivations of the characters and why it ends the way that it ends and all the subplots. And so I think it's so important that we don't start reading our Bible at Matthew chapter 1 or maybe Matthew chapter 2 or 3. We don't start there, but we actually go back and say, man, this was not when Jesus came and said, repent, the kingdom of God is here. That wasn't the beginning of the movie. He was referencing things they would have understood from the book of Exodus and Leviticus and things they understood from the prophets, the hope of Israel. So I think for Christians, it's so important we understand the roots of our faith, the heritage of our faith, in order to make sense of some of the things we read in the New Testament.
And that is a vital thing for all of us to do. As you're listening today, we just challenge you to understand the history, the geography, the culture, the language of the Bible, because when you do that, the Bible is going to come alive to you like never before. You're going to see things in the Bible as you're reading it that you've never seen before, because you are reading God's Word in context. Now, we're talking about Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries, and we're going to get your story of how you ended up in Israel, or I don't even know if you're a native Israeli. We're going to find out about that. But the Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries, and you mentioned all these different ministries that you all are related to, and I hear from people all the time. They ask me, John, I want to support ministries in Israel. I want to support people there, but I just don't know who I can trust.
And it's a challenge, because in the country of Israel, we have about 10 million people, only about 30,000 Jewish believers in Jesus, maybe a few thousand Christian evangelical Arabs. So just if you do the math, we're talking about less than half of 1% of the population that are followers of Jesus. And so we want to give exposure to, help people to see who these ministries are, what they do. Some are working with Holocaust survivors. Some are working with women off the streets, drug addicts, doing amazing, amazing work with soldiers and discipling young people, planting congregations. So whatever is in your heart, I was talking to someone last night here at the conference, and they said, man, our heart's foster care and adoption. And we said, you know what? There's a ministry in Israel pioneering foster care and adoption. And all the ministries together, the common thread is they're doing it in a gospel-centered way. These are followers of Yeshua, of Jesus. And we're saying we're loving our people, but we want them to know who the Messiah is.
You know, it's really good to point out that these are Jewish people who believe in Jesus, just like you. They've not switched religions or anything like that. They are still Jewish, but they have found the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
And then so many people say, well, you know, you want me to come to Jesus, is that conversion? And I would just say the most Jewish thing we can do is to believe in the Jewish Messiah. I mean, it's actually not converting away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's actually the fulfillment of our faith. And that's why my wife came out of a Jewish background, and her whole family came to faith. And they saw that as a fulfillment of their faith. And now we both live in Israel. You asked the question. We're both Israeli citizens living in Israel, Messianic believers. And we're seeing God start to transform our nation, especially in light of what happened on October 7th. There's more openness to who is God. We're all searching for answers right now.
Well, getting back to the Fellowship of Israel-related ministries, again, you connect people with the ministries that are going on there in Israel. You support them as well, and we can talk about that. But you actually talk to these ministries before they become part of your fellowship. So what do you go through and determine that they are a part of what you guys do?
Well, everything in Israel and everything in the Middle East is really based off relationships. So we're not a transaction organization. We get to know these ministries. We go visit them. We spend time together. And our heart is not just to come and give financial resources. Our heart is to say, how can we help you as a ministry to strengthen, unite, and resource you to do uniquely what God's called you to do? So we have a vetting process. We have a committee that looks at all this application and what they do and the impact and the fruit. And then we can actually say, hey, we vouch for you. You're a trusted ministry. Now we want to come in and help you in practical leadership training. How do we help build capacity? Once we have healthy ministries, healthy and strong ministries, healthy and strong leaders, the next question is, how do we work together? You know, we're a small body of believers. We're not competing against each other. In fact, we need to collaborate with each other to make even a bigger impact. And after October 7th, we saw more ministries working together to shine a brighter light together. And I think that really resonates among our younger generation. And then finally, how do we resource them in unique ways to do what God's uniquely called them to do? I mean, we all want to see the day where all of Israel is saved, but we all have unique callings in that. And so how can we really complement each other and present an accurate witness of who Yeshua is.
So if you want to find out how you can connect with these ministries in Israel, the Fellowship of Israel-related ministries, firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. I just want to encourage you, please go to that website, find out more about what they do in Israel. Because if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I really want to connect with the ministry in Israel, I want to support someone in Israel, a ministry that's really doing the gospel-centered ministry like you just described, Michael, firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org is the place that you can go to, because you're going to get connected and it's going to be a solid connection. And as he just said, they vet all of these ministries, so they are absolutely solid. Let's talk about your story of how you came to Israel. I don't even know if you're a native Israeli, but what's your story?
Yeah, so I'm born in Toronto, Canada, raised as a Canadian. I thought I was going to go into business and send lots of money to the missions field. And I was on a 10-day fast as a 17-year-old, young teenager, and God grabbed a hold of my life. I was actually on a bus in L.A., and we were about to get off the bus, and the bus driver got cut off by a car, and he kind of yelled out, oh, that's not very kosher. And then he looks at me and says, do you know what the word kosher means? And I thought I was young, and I thought I knew everything, so I said yes. Well, he asked me, well, what does it mean? And I didn't know what the meaning of the word was. So then he asked me, he said, well, did you ever study British history? And I said, yes. And he asked, why? And I said, well, I'm Canadian, so we study where we came from and how we got to where we are today. So then this bus driver looks at me and says, then why, if you claim to be a Christian, have you never studied the Jewish roots, the Jewish background of your faith? And I didn't have a good answer. And at that very moment, we pulled up to our stop. I got off the bus. He drives away. And I'm like, God, what does this mean? I went to a room alone in the middle of my fast. I was like, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And in that moment, I heard God speak to me as clear as day. Michael, you're going to spend the rest of your life living and doing ministry in Jerusalem. And that was the most unexpected thing for me. I was like, God, I don't even want to go to Jerusalem. I'm not a Christian that even loves Israel. I wasn't even interested in Israel. I wasn't against Israel, but I was ambivalent. And but I said, God, if this is you, then I'm willing. You just got to make this happen. And so the Lord led me on a journey to move to Israel. I joined a church in Jerusalem. I came to a trip. They offered me a visa and a job. I thought, this is amazing. Now, the visa wasn't entirely secured and the job was raise your own support, but I decided to sell everything I owned, one-way ticket, move to Israel. And after living in Israel, God opened up the door for us to co-found Firm with Pastor Wayne Hilsden, the pastor at the time of King of Kings Community in Jerusalem. We started this ministry together. And at that very moment, I also got a call from my aunt. And my aunt said, you don't know this, but your grandmother, she had passed away, your grandmother was Jewish. She had a Star of David and a menorah. And I thought my grandmother was Catholic from Italy. But me and my dad, we went to Italy. We were able to prove this story, bring all this proof to a rabbi in Canada who wrote us a letter, and we were able to use that to immigrate to Israel. So I'm an Israeli citizen, Israeli-Canadian, immigrated to Israel. I met my wife, Vanessa, who grew up Jewish. Her whole family came to faith when she was 8, grew up in the Messianic Jewish movement in America, and she also immigrated to Israel. So we got married in Jerusalem. Our two boys, our two little boys, Azariah and Hannah, and I, born in Jerusalem. So we're full-on Israelis. Our boys were Sabra Israelis, native-born, and that's the story of how we came to Israel. Just love serving the Lord there in Jerusalem.
Talking to Michael Mistretta. He is with Firm Fellowship of Israel Related Ministries, and I encourage you to find out more about this organization there in Israel. If you want to connect with a solid ministry that you support, they have an incredible opportunity for you to do that, because there's several ministries that they fellowship with that they have checked out that are solid organization. So if you're looking to support some ministry in Israel, go to firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. Please check that out. You can get a lot of information there about what they are doing in Israel. And you mentioned the Messianic Church in Israel. These are Jewish people who believe in Jesus, and you work with a lot of Messianic congregations. These are Hebrew congregations that believe in Jesus. Tell our family that's listening right now how the community of Jewish believers are doing there in Israel in the midst of this war that's going on.
Well, I would say, you know, we went into the beginning of October as a nation quite divided, actually one of the most divided points in Israel's history. We had an entire movement that was for Supreme Court reforms and an entire movement that was against Supreme Court reforms, lots of protests. And then after October 7th, I would say what happened in our society was nothing short of amazing in terms of the entire nation came together, rallied around the pain. There wasn't one person who didn't feel the pain of a hostage or of someone who was murdered on October 7th. I mean, we were there, and it was, and people describe it as Israel's 9/11, but it was so different than that, because our country's so small. Really, it's like the size of New Jersey, very, very small country. I mean, you can drive around in just a few hours. Everyone knew someone who was affected. 360,000 reserve soldiers called up to the front lines. That's 360,000 families that were without a father or parents that were without their kids. So everyone felt it, and really it caused the body of believers to rise up in unique ways. I've already shared that we have a small community of believers, less than a fraction of 1% of our population believers in Jesus. But we're saying, how can we make even a bigger impact? So we saw the body come together. We opened a national kitchen in the center of the country, a collaboration of multiple ministries saying, how are we getting hot meals out? 2,000 hot meals a day, did over 70,000 hot meals, working together with other ministries. Like, we don't care whose logo or who gets the credit. We just want to help people, and we want Jesus to get the credit. That turned into a project where we started doing $150,000 a week of groceries. We were getting a discounted rate. So really it was $300,000 worth of groceries that we're getting discounted, distributing out to 20 different local congregations who would pack it and distribute the food. And what I love about this is it mobilized the local church, local body of believers to love their communities in a time of crisis. And it wasn't under any congregation's name. In fact, the banner we did it under was Le'era Echa, which means love your neighbor. We just said, hey, we're followers of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. He said, first commandment, love the Lord your God. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is our expression. And I think it was able to shine a light to so many in this time, and also speak the truth of who he is, normalize who Yeshua is. Because most Jews that don't believe in Jesus, they're offended by the idea of Jesus, Yeshua, being the Messiah. And so we've seen more people willing to work with Jewish believers in Jesus now more than ever before, working with municipalities and mayors and regional councils. And we hope that continues.
Michael Mistretta with Firm Fellowship of Israel Related Ministries is who we are talking to on the Middle East Report. Check out their organization and what they're doing, firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. All of the things that you just mentioned about things that you did to help in the immediate aftermath of the war, is there still a need? I mean, are you still helping people now there in Israel?
Absolutely. We started with emergency crisis. And if you go to our website, like you're saying, the way we work is that 100% of the funds that come on our website, 100% goes to the local ministries, goes to local projects. It doesn't cover our salaries or our rent or our operations. We raise that privately so that you could know that 100% of your donation is actually going to the people on the front lines. And now we've shifted from emergency crisis mode to what we're calling hope and healing. There's long-term effects. We want to rebuild homes, rebuild lives, do long-term trauma care. So right now, currently, we're building 12 classrooms and kindergartens down in the south, the Gaza border communities, working with four different communities down there. We asked them, what will it take for you to return home? I mean, they were being hosted in hotels for months, and they said, our issue returning to our homes is that there are no schools for our kids. We're building schools and bomb shelters down there, helping families that have lost loved ones. And most amazingly, we just had someone, a partner, donate a farm for the month of March, and we're going to take that farm and turn it into a trauma therapy retreat center for soldiers, for their families, for children. Every single day, we'll be hosting hundreds of people there, activities for the kids and meals, trauma therapists, and really helping to care for the long-term effects of what people are facing after October 7th, and for those who've been in the military now for several months.
A lot of people who are listening right now all across the country don't understand the trauma of what happened on October 7th with this horrific massacre of Israelis. And now, in the aftermath of that, we have soldiers that have died. We've got a nation that is traumatized by missiles from the north, from Hezbollah. You still have missiles, some flying from Gaza. You've got that operation ongoing, you know, in Gaza with the Israeli army. So there is a lot of stress and a lot of trauma on the people of Israel right now.
There's a lot of stress, a lot of trauma. And what I was amazed even coming here to America, this is our first trip here in America since the war, is how many Americans just forget. I mean, I was at a church and people said, are there still hostages? I'm like, yeah, there's over 130 hostages that are still being kept in Gaza. So I understand in October, it was all over the headlines. Now we get sporadic reports. And so it's so important what you're doing here with the Middle East Report, keeping people informed. This is not a war that's over. We're living in the fear of what will happen if there is war with Hezbollah. Even today I was talking, they have 150,000 missiles, 5,000 precision rockets. So full-out war develops on the northern border. We're talking about we're living in bomb shelters for weeks. Our electricity is going to be out. Our telecommunications is going to be out. It's a whole nother picture. And Israel's at a challenging point right now because over 80,000 Israelis are not living in their homes on the northern border. It's not safe to go home. Someone was just killed last week. So they can't return home until something happens in the north, and we're waiting to see what that's going to look like.
Well, it is definitely still ongoing there in Israel. And, you know, you mentioned Hezbollah, these precision rockets, 150,000 of them. And Israel has this incredible way of, you know, stopping these missiles from coming into the country. However, when they are overwhelmed, hopefully that's not going to happen from the north, but when they're overwhelmed, maybe they'll catch 95% of them, but maybe 5% might get through. It's not going to be good.
And people don't understand that Hamas and Hezbollah, they're both funded by the same entity. They're both funded by Iran. And so when Hamas has rockets, they can't really control. They control the general direction they go, but some rockets land in open fields. The Iron Dome's able to take them out. But if we were to be bombarded by thousands of rockets and precision, and they can target from the top, the northern border, all the way to the south city of Eilat, it's a completely different ball game. And so that's why Israel is being hesitant right now about engaging in full-out war on the northern border. I think they really wanted to shore up things in Gaza prior to moving to another front. But at this point, they're facing a lot of economic pressure because these 80,000 people are still out of their homes. They're living in hotels or in different retreat centers, and they're really wanting to come back home, and it's not safe yet.
Well, there's a lot of ways that you can get involved, and Firm Israel helps you to do that. Check out firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. You can get a lot of information about organizations and ministries in Israel that are impacting people there in the land of Israel. Ministries that you can trust, by the way, because all of these ministries have been vetted out by Firm Israel. And so you can trust these organizations. It's a family of ministries that you all have together and a growing family there in the land of Israel. So firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. I want to encourage you to please check that out. Get more details about what they are doing there in the land of Israel. Right now, you know, we've been talking about the hard stuff going on in Israel with the war and things going on in Lebanon and Israel being surrounded by all of these enemies. However, you, Michael, through Firm, are bringing people into Israel. And a lot of people who are listening right now are like, are you crazy? What's going on with that?
I know. So we had this vision. I mean, right after October 7th, we had people reaching out, can we come? Can we serve? I thought, this is crazy. And then we had this crazy idea the first week of November. We said, you know, I've been in an accident before where I almost lost my life. And it's the people who showed up for me in my time of need that really ministered to me. It's like whoever shows up for you in your time of need, that speaks volumes, louder than words. And so we wanted to give an opportunity for people to come. We call it Hope and Healing Show Up and Serve Trip. So one, you're showing up in a time of crisis. And two, we're serving, we're working. And we put out this call in November, said, hey, we got 3 weeks notice. And we had over 77 people sign up, 10 different countries around the world. They came to Israel the first week of December. And this was one of the first Christian solidarity trips that we saw of this size in Israel. And everyone we interacted with, I mean, we were doing activities with kids and then different evacuation sites and helping pack food boxes and distribute meals to the poor, all sorts of things for people in need. But the thing that really changed the game was every person we interacted with, they said, why are you here? And we had a chance to share about the love that they had for Israel, their stance with Israel, and their presence there meant more than anything. We had several Israeli local news radio stations and television stations covering this, and now every 6 weeks, this is what we're doing. We had a group at the end of January. We have another group of 40 coming at the beginning of March, one in May, one in June. So if you're interested in coming, even if it's your first trip to Israel, I mean, you'll see some of the country. You'll see Jerusalem. You'll see the Sea of Galilee, but you're actually coming to serve every single day different communities across the country. And we have people that said, man, I came for a week. I don't want to go home. And so now we have an opportunity for those who want to come long-term, 1, 2, 3 months at a time, live on a kibbutz down by the Gaza border. This is a kibbutz. I mean, the people haven't even moved back. And they have Christians living here, preparing the way, cleaning homes, helping with agriculture, helping if people have construction background, we're helping to rebuild homes and decks and patios, restore lives, work with the kids. So there's so many practical ways to help that in the past would have seemed impossible. Israel doesn't need volunteers like this. Well, now Israel is a moment in history where Christians can help Israel rebuild, restore, replant. And we already are seeing hundreds of people that are engaged in this way.
So many opportunities, and obviously, you know, it may not be for everybody, but if the Lord is speaking to you through Michael here, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I need to go and serve, you contact firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. They'll give you all the information. And here's the thing about it, Michael, when you bring in people, you're going to take care of them. You're going to make sure they're going to be safe and that they are going to be safe. And, you know, they're going to see a little bit of the country, as you mentioned, but everything's going to be okay. They're going to be under your care.
I think it's important to talk about the safety. Because right now you're like, well, that's coming to a war zone. Well, we take a lot of precautions where we place everyone. We have a bunch of former military individuals that are bodyguards. They're with us on the whole trip. They're staying really in tune with the terrorist situation in the country. We're not going to any unsafe sites because a lot of Israel right now is safe for people to come to. And so obviously if the situation changes, we would cancel a trip. We wouldn't let someone come into harm's way. But we've had already a couple hundred people who've come on these trips. Everyone returns safe. Some of them have come back multiple times.
What does it mean for Israelis to see Americans or people from around the world? It's not just from the United States, but literally from around the world that are coming to be a part of this solidarity tour that you're mentioning. What does it mean for Israelis to see these people from around the world coming to stand with the people of Israel?
I think for a long time, Israelis looked at Americans and American Christians as tourists. So you're coming to Israel and you love Israel, great, but you're loving Israel because you get something from it. We're taking pictures, we're taking souvenirs, we're walking where Jesus walked. So it really confounds the mind of an Israeli to say, wow, you're coming, you're spending your time and your vacation time, not to just come on a tour, but actually to serve, to help pick grapefruit, to help play with our kids, to help care for people in hotels and do music therapy and art therapy. I mean, that speaks louder than words because we're not coming to take, we're actually coming to give. And it's not, oh, because Jesus walked here, I want to walk there. It's, oh, because Jesus walked here, I want to come and serve you. And that connection between Jesus producing a love for the people of Israel in hearts, it really is ministering. It's breaking down walls. People that looked at Christians as the enemy, as people that really were maybe just were capitalizing off Israel for tourist reasons, now are seeing true friends, lifelong friends.
It's an amazing opportunity. And again, it's not for everybody, but Firm Israel will take care of you if you decide to go with them to Israel during this very difficult time in Israel. And again, you you are going to stand with Israel in an unprecedented way during their time of need. Then, you know, you'll find out even more about Firm Israel. When you're there in the land, you'll see a lot of these different ministries that you mentioned that you guys are connected with. So I want to encourage people to go to firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. You can get all the information you need about what they do. They are connected to so many different organizations and ministries in the land of Israel that you can trust. If you've been thinking about giving to an organization there in Israel, you can go to that website and you can see an entire list and, you know, let the Lord lead you for what you are doing. So we are going to wrap things up here in just a moment, Michael, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk to people across the country, people who love Israel and love the Bible and love the Jewish people. What would you want to say to them during this most critical time that's happening there in the land of Israel? Enemies are surrounding Israel. Israel is under a very difficult circumstance and situation right now.
You know, I read something maybe a couple of weeks into the war. It was something on Instagram, and it was just a simple post that said, if you ever wondered what you would be doing as a Christian in the 1930s to the 1940s, you're doing it right now. And I read that and I started to weep. You know, we hear the stories of the Holocaust. I was less than a year ago, I went to Auschwitz for the first time and saw these sites and heard us say, never again, never again. And now, a few months after that, seeing some of the sites from the Gaza border that looked very similar to the sites that I saw at Auschwitz, people burned alive and raped and murdered and atrocities. And just that memory that we are living in a moment of history right now. And we may not have lived in the 1930s, 1940s. We may not know what it's like to live in Germany during those days or in Europe during those times. But what we do right now says a lot about us. So I think it's important that we're praying. I think it's important that we're praying, remembering the hostages, the same way that God says, pray for Jerusalem and give me no peace until I establish her and make her a praise in the earth. Like that's got to be our heart. And there are moments, I'll admit, that I doubt. I'm like, are they still alive? And we just had this great news a couple weeks ago of two hostages being rescued. We need to pray for the hostages. We need to pray for peace for our region. We need to pray for the Palestinians and this cycle of hatred, this generation after generation hatred that really it can't be solved by political solutions. It has to be solved by the Prince of Peace. The Bible says we've entrusted you with this message of reconciliation. That's the message. We want the church, the people of God to rise up and to love in practical ways. I want to see the script between Christians and Jews rewritten during this time. Messianic Jews normalized in the country. Us really to be able to serve and love our people in practical, tangible ways. So pray, speak out. I think it's so important wherever you are. If you have Jewish friends or a Jewish community, they're feeling alone right now. They feel like there's no one in the world who's even seeing the anti-Semitism they're feeling. And so just to be a friend to them, to care for them, to love them, to give them a hug, it's a huge statement of support right now. And there's a lot of ways that you can be involved.
Michael Misrata with Fellowship of Israel Related Ministries. I want to encourage you to find out more about that organization, firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. Michael, thank you for joining us on the Middle East Report.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show. Please share it with your friends. You can get a podcast of this wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms. Plus, you can go to afr.net. You can click on the podcast tab there and then search for the Middle East Report, and you'll find us right there. Thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley.